Overnight with Jason Gotch continues now on SB Nation Radio.
We welcome you back. This is SB Nation Radio. Great to have you aboard. Jason Gotch with you. Hard to believe, but NFL training camps are right around the corner. And one of the teams around the league that everybody's keeping an eye on in 2017, the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. For more on the Falcons, let's go right out to our guest line. We are joined by D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, covers the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can follow him on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC is his Twitter handle. Orlando, I appreciate the time and welcome to the show.
Hey, my friend.
Let's talk to start it off about that Super Bowl hangover. The Falcons, I think everybody in America thought they had won the Super Bowl this past season. They blow the 28-3 lead. They lose in overtime to the Patriots. How do you think that affects them in 2017, if at all?
It's got to affect them. They're young and resilient. But, that was traumatic. It was very traumatic to be on the precipice of winning the Super Bowl, the game's grandest game, and then coming up a little short. We'll see how they rebound from it.
What do you think the head coach, Dan Quinn, is going to have to do to manage that, the talk about that in training camp? And how has he handled it? Because he was on the wrong end of that Seahawks Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. Now he's on the wrong end of this one. How do you think it affects Dan Quinn, the head coach?
I think he's done a good job in the offseason of addressing things head on and, not trying to hide from the fact that they came up short and didn't finish. I mean, one of their mottos is, hey, to finish, and, they didn't finish. They became aggressive, maybe too aggressive, running, throwing and running situations and, maybe not calling the right players at the right time and maybe not commandeering the offensive reins from Kyle Shanahan. So he can only grow from that situation, and it looks like he's doing that by taking the situation head on.
D. Orlando, let's talk next about Kyle Shanahan, because it was a breakthrough year for Matt Ryan. It was a breakthrough year for that offense, and Kyle Shanahan ran that offense, and now he's the head coach in San Francisco. How do you think the transition's going to be for the offense, and what concerns are there for Atlanta in that department?
Well, a lot of people believe Matt Ryan will handle that transition in a fine fashion. He's had some experience with that, moving from Mike Mularkey to Dirk Cutter a couple years back, and Dirk came in and got on Matt Ryan's page. A lot of people are expecting that Sark will do the same thing and let Matt Ryan have a lot of more input in how they're going to operate. And so, that might be a smoother transition than a lot of folks may think.
D. Orlando, let's talk about some of the storylines that you're looking at in training camp. We talked about Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, that's a big one. But with training camp opening up for Atlanta on July 26th, less than 2 weeks from now, what other storylines are you looking at early in their workouts?
Yeah, five things to watch. One includes the right guard battle. Chris Chester retired. Fullback Patrick DeMarco was not re-signed, so they need a fullback. And I think maybe the big one is, how much improvement they can expect from all of the young guys on the defense. You have so many first and second year guys starting. So, one will be, can Vic Beasley can maintain, is leading the league in rushing. Can Tack McKinley, help him out in the pass rush. That's four. And then five, can the secondary improve? Jalen Collins, played a lot with Desmond Trufant out. And then, you got Robert Alford there and you got Brian Poole there. Can the coverage get tighter? Can the pass rush get better? They also added Don Terry Poe at free agency. The big tackle from Kansas City, can he help Grady Jarrett out and help that pass rush? So, the Falcons have some things that they can improve on, certainly on defense. The numbers weren't great, but they did turn the ball over. They got, 22 turnovers via forced fumbles and interceptions. So that's going to be key to move forward and improve on the defensive side of the ball, Jason.
D'Orlando, you mentioned Tack McKinley. Obviously, they'd like to get a big impact from him as a rookie. But are there any other draft picks or maybe even some free agents that they signed as rookies? Because those guys are unheralded, the undrafted free agents. But sometimes those guys will come in and they'll make an impact even on special teams. Are there any other rookies that you're looking at that you could expect to make an impact in year one?
Yeah, I think Duke Riley, the second-round pick from LSU, he's a linebacker, smallest linebacker with a lot of speed, much like Deion Jones last year. I think he may be able to come in and help them out. You know, the running back, Brian Hill, fifth-round pick, might be able to come in and help out in the running game, the power running game. He's a violent runner. He's a guy we're going to keep an eye on, too, when training camp starts.
D'Orlando Ledbetter is our guest. He covers the Atlanta Falcons as the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's with me, Jason Gotch, all across the country here on SB Nation Radio, getting you ready for NFL training camp down in Georgia as the Falcons, the defending NFC champs, get going less than 2 weeks from today in their training camp workouts. And you can follow D'Orlando on Twitter. His handle is at DOrlandoAJC. D'Orlando, let's talk next about Matt Ryan, because he was always considered a good quarterback by a lot of people, maybe a top 10 guy, but not necessarily a top 5 guy. He breaks through last season. He's the league MVP. Is that who you expect Matt Ryan to be going forward the next few years, or could he still regress to that guy maybe he was before this past season?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, he was. I thought pretty solid, maybe spectacular at times, in leading the Falcons to the playoffs in four of his first 5 years. And then the line got kind of, they didn't draft properly for the line, and he wasn't protected. He's a guy that's got to be protected. I think the line's okay in that regard. So I felt that he went to the next level with better protection, and if the protection holds up, he should stay there. You look at it, he's been in the league 8 years, going on nine. He's been to the playoffs 6 of those years. So, or I think that's 5. I might be misstating that. But I've been high on Ryan. I don't know why the perception's been that he wasn't a great quarterback, but I expect that to continue.
D'Orlando, how do they stack up against the NFC South? It might seem like a little bit to our audience a ridiculous question, but you think back to just a year ago, the Panthers were 15-1 in 2015. They don't even make the playoffs in 2016. So when you look at this Falcons team, where do you think they fit in the division race?
They're the leader of the pack, no question about it. Tampa Bay's made some strides. The Saints are the team to keep an eye on because they didn't do much on defense. But if they added, a power running game and Adrian Peterson, they could be problematic for the Falcons and the rest of the league if AP has a lot left in the tank. So, I would go into the season with the Falcons being the favorite, Tampa Bay coming on strong after their 9-7, and then the Saints probably a team to keep an eye on with Adrian Peterson. Carolina hasn't done enough on their defensive side of the ball to do much if, Cam could come back and then get their running game back on track, they could be, solid to formidable. But, I think going into the season with the Falcons only losing 2 starters on offense, they have to be considered the favorite going in.
What about the bigger picture in the NFC? Are they a favorite to get to the Super Bowl? Are they one of the favorites? Or do you look at them and say, yeah, I think they'll win the division, but maybe there are a couple teams in the NFC that you think might be favored against Atlanta this year for a Super Bowl berth?
No, I think they're the favorite to get back. You got to look at Seattle and what they've done to improve and maybe Russell Wilson being healthy and if they can get their running game reestablished. Then you have Green Bay and Dallas. These are all teams that were in the playoffs last year that they'll be fighting with. I think they have to have the upper hand on those teams. And then the New York Giants, the team that I want to, believe you need to keep an eye on. They've made some great moves, and Jerry Reese has done a great job up there with the Giants. So, I think they have a shot to get back at the Super Bowl, no question about it.
D'Orlando, great information. I got one more for you, about a minute left here. Julio Jones, what makes him such a special player?
It's the blend, Jason, of speed and power that makes him a difficult one-on-one defend. And the fact that Julio can, he can get down the field, he can come across the field, he doesn't mind blocking, he does all of it. He's such a threat that it opens up things for other guys. I think the trademark of last year was the fact that Matt Ryan threw touchdown passes to 13 receivers, and I think you can attribute that to the fact that Julio Jones is on the field in the red zone. So he's a tough defend. He opens up things for other guys, and Matt Ryan is smart enough to find those guys when teams try to gang up on Julio.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, check him out. Doing great work covering the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Follow him on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC is his Twitter handle. D. Orlando, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to chatting as the training camp heats up and also as the season progresses. Have a great rest of your week, and we appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. We always appreciate you coming on. There he goes, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gotch with you back with more right after this.